It is easy to practice. It is easy to practice. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, where it is always beautiful weather. Blue skies, bluebirds, and lovely people. It is easy to practice. The saying is, practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. And I say it's easy to practice because we're always practicing what we preach. We're practicing what we preach. We say, and we preach by our actions. We preach by our intentions. We preach by our inner awareness. Now, what have you preached lately? Have you said, all is in divine order, and then everything fell flat? Did you say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, and you came down with pneumonia or something like that? Did you say, I am wealthy, and the bank foreclosed on your house? Well, you see, that's not practicing what you're preaching. And how do you practice what you preach? You don't talk. You keep your mouth shut. If you're not going to believe what you say, keep your mouth shut. At least you got one avenue closed, you know. But the thought still goes on. So, we've made a number of comments here today. And in these comments that we've made, oh, Ellen is waving her hands around here, shouting, it's all in divine order, when I have just turned off the microphone for an instant, but of course it didn't turn off the tape, it didn't turn off the recording over here. So that was just a moment of silence. That's for your benefit. All is in divine order. Now that's a lovely thing to say. But then act like it. Act like it. Every time something comes up in your life, act like the solution you want for it. What is the solution that you want for the circumstance that you have? Anita was working on the tractor, and Brian came over and said, would you pop over and fill in the hole for me when you're free, you know? And so Anita popped over there and jumped off the tractor and said, voila, monsieur, it is yours. And he jumped on the tractor and filled in the hole, and she watched very carefully, always interested in learning how to do new ways of handling the tractor. Did he use the scraper or the grader or the shovel?
The shovel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But specially.
Oh, but specially. Oh, good. Because that's what he's used to using. It's the shovel on the front end. And the scraper, the scraper, I guess it's called, on the back end, is a little new. It can tilt and it can roll forward. It can lay backward. It can do all sorts of neat things, and you have to be very careful with it. Because if you're not careful with it, you'll dig a hole bigger than you planned on digging. And we could get rid of some old cars that we have around here. But aside from that, practice what you preach. In other words, it's easy to practice. It's very easy to practice it. I have been talking to my sister, who has been in the hospital, and I said, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. Well, she got very angry with me, and she says, stop it. Will you shut up, you know? And I said, well, that's the way I see you. She says, you may see me that way, but I don't feel that way. And I said, well, start feeling that way. Start thinking that way. Yeah, you don't have my problem. You don't have my worry. You don't have my body, what I'm going through. I said, no, thank goodness. And I'm going to keep stating, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body forever, never, 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 never. Even when I start saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You see, it's easy to fall into the old trap. And I keep changing it because I want to pay attention to my words. I want to pay attention to them very carefully. The other words sound just fine. And these words sound just fine. But just vary your program every once in a while and watch miracles happen. Now, we have some idiots in our organization who don't know that it's supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be tough. You understand? It's supposed to be tough to speak your word and have miracles happen. It's supposed to be tough to speak your word and have things happen. Well, Sybil Agboa in Nigeria, every time she turns around, she opens her mouth and says, you know, I had this experience, I had that experience. And I say, what are you telling us this terrible experience for? Get to the facts, you know. What did you do? She said, well, I just sat back and I said, all's in divine order. And I said, go your way, all is in divine order. And the burglar left. And it didn't bother me. Bothered the neighbors, but didn't bother me. You see, you got to say, the burglar is now satisfied. Not, and you shouldn't call him a burglar. The burglar is now satisfied. All is in divine order. Huh?
Yeah,
that's even better. But the thing is, why, you see, now, I used to say, all the rattlesnakes on our property will go off into the BLM land. Well, why should they go there? Because we go there too, you know. And we don't want to run into those fellows in the BLM land either. And so I just say, all of the rattlesnakes go wherever it makes them happy to go. And it's not in my world, you know, or something like that. I say they go knowing that my world is quite large and they're not in my world. There's a story about a man in Boulevard a few years back, and he bought some property, and it was a lot of rocks in the property. And he went out there in the spring, and when he went out there, he saw all of these rattlesnakes coming out of the rocks, doing their mating dance and so forth, and he said, oh my goodness, what did I buy here? And so he thought, surely I must put a stop to this. So he bought some sort of poison that would kill the rattlesnakes, and he put it all around his property, everywhere, and it killed the rattlesnakes. And some of the rattlesnakes, while dying, went other places and became contagious to other things. And the whole community was up in arms because he killed these rattlesnakes with poison. So a few years later, he decided he's going to get rid of them again. Well, that was their home. He only killed a few hundred thousand, but that was their home. And so he decided he'd smoke them out. He'd smoke them out with some sort of smoke that he would pour into their dens, and he would destroy them with the smoke. I don't know what he had in the smoke, probably something that wasn't very nice. Well, then the community got after him again. You just don't do that. That's nature. Those rattlesnakes were there before you were there. And that's their home. That's their life. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. And it's very interesting how the community can get upset about things like that are distressing nature. What happens when you put nature into an imbalance? Other things go off. Other things get out of order. So, you see, if you have learned the philosophy of the University of Healing, be yourself and have fun, if you've learned that, then how could you ever take the life of another creature, ever? How could you ever eat a hamburger, you know? How could you ever have a weenie? How could you ever have a steak? How could you ever have some lettuce? That's another lifestyle too, you know. Just because we find it on lower on the chain, but it's a lifestyle.
Or pick a flower.
Or pick a flower, that's right. How could you ever do these things? Well, you don't have to. You just say everything is in divine order. You say divine right order if that pleases you, but better to say just divine order. Everything is in divine order. I have the food that pleases me. The world has the food that pleases them. Now, could the world change from being, meat eater, you know, to being a vegetarian in an instant? What would happen if the world changed like that? What would happen if the world changed from being a meat-eating carnivorous, that's the word, carnivorous people, to a vegetarian people, to a, there's another word for that too, to a herbivorous, eating only herbs, you know. only the fruits and the herbs and stuff like that. Carnivorous to herbivorous. how could that happen? How could we put the cause in motion that the world is now herbivorous? How could we do that? What would happen if we did that?
We would have a lot of animals.
They would balance themselves out too. If we did that, we would never remember that we were carnivorous. We would never remember we had any desire to eat any meat. And if any person in our world ate meat, they would be ostracized as though you're eating human flesh or something like that. You'd be ostracized from being a human being. You'd be a non-human being. Because if everyone is herbivorous, eating only vegetarian foods, then anyone who doesn't, who eats other things, is not considered to be a balanced person. Now, can you conceive of that? Can you conceive of the world eating only omnivorous? Only herbivorous, only vegetarian type of meals. Could you conceive of that?
Yes.
You can conceive of it, but you haven't conceived of it sufficiently that it's a natural thing for you. And you see, when we conceive of it sufficiently, it's a natural thing for us. So Mark, when he was having his friends over, and his two friends were talking to him about the Hindu teachings where they never eat any living thing, that is, any living sentient thing like bugs, cows, animals, things like that. Well, yeah, you're careful not to eat them when you're swallowing, you know. No, really, that's part of the game. And you don't walk on an ant, you know.
You wash the salad, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. So you just stand still. That's why some of these guys never move, you know. They let other people move for them and bring them food and do their potty for them and stuff like that. It's amazing. But truly, it is easy to practice. It's very easy to practice because we're all practicing exactly what we believe about ourselves. We're practicing it, and we're enjoying it, and we're having a thrill in doing it, and it's the silliest thing in the world. It really is. It's the silliest thing in the world, because we say, I got a cold, my cold, I haven't got any money, I'm poor, I need a house, I need a wife, I need a husband, I need a family, I need a mate, I need a friend. Phew, my goodness sake, keep at it, because you're going right down the road to having all of those things. You're putting the cause in motion, and you'll have it. But when you say, I have my perfect spouse, I have my perfect home, I have my perfect life, I have my perfect body. How about that? Isn't that a nice one?
Mm-hmm.
I have my perfect body. Now, when you say that, then you're putting that cause in motion. And then everybody looks at you and says, oh, you do have a perfect body. My goodness, yes, it's perfect. Yes, it's lovely. And whereas before they'd look at it and they say, oh, you're skinny, you're fat, you're tall, you're short, you know. They'd look at you with judgment. But when you say you're perfect, they're blind to anything else than seeing you perfect. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That is a truism. That is a truism. People hear you talk about yourself and they say, you must know what you're talking about. You're inside there. And you say, I'm sick, I'm cold, I'm hungry, I'm poor, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm tall, you know. You know, I have been with people recently, and I had a little tummy. And the people never noticed my tummy. They just noticed my face and my charisma and who I was. And then I would say, well, I'm interested in taking off a few more pounds. Oh, yeah, I guess you are a little heavy. I guess you are. You should know. They hadn't even noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a darn about my pounds. They care about theirs, you know. They don't care whether my face is shaven or not. They care about theirs. The only person who has ever cared whether I shaved or not was my sister May. because I would kiss her, and she'd say, "Oh, you've got those prickly whiskers," you know. And she's the only one. Every other girl that I kiss, or guy, never complains about my prickly whiskers. They just say, That's because I say, But with me, I don't say, I just say, "I love you, kid," you know. No great sexual, emotional attraction there, you know. But it's great. It's great. Now, are you ready to really practice the thing that you say you want? If you are, have at it and enjoy. Because it is easy to practice. And you know it, and I know it, and so does the world. I love you, I love you, I love you.